morning. It's good to be back with you here. I wish that things were still different and that everybody could be back, but I understand we can't. And it is though good to be with you this morning. This morning, I'd like for us to look at Galatians. We're actually going to look at Galatians chapter 2, just a few verses. I want us to talk about this morning what the Bible says about how do you deal with conflict, and how might we resolve conflict? Because here's what we know about the gospel. The gospel does this: it renews us. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the old has gone, and the new has come." That we have been bought back by God through Jesus, and that we are completely free in Him. There's no condemnation. And as we understand that, as we understand that there is no conflict between us and God, what does that do then to your relationships, to my relationships, to the way you talk to your spouse, the way you talk to your son, or the way you talk to your mom or your dad, the way you text? It should flow out of us. And we have to understand that if the gospel is not affecting the way that we deal with relationships and within that conflict, then maybe the gospel isn't really touching us very deeply. And so I want you to think of a recent conflict. And I want you to think what it was like to think about that conflict, to think about the tensions that you felt, that maybe surrounded an interaction that you had, or a perception that you had, a look that was given to you or that you gave to somebody else, a snub in some way. And what did you do with that? Because what we're looking at here in Galatians 2 is people had come to know Jesus in Asia Minor. And Peter was a veteran Christian. And Peter knew what it meant for a Jew to come to know Christ, but to still want to honor all his traditions, including circumcision, including, some of the feasts. And he also knew what it was like for the Gentile, someone who didn't know anything about Judaism, didn't know anything about the history of the Hebrews or Moses or the parting of the Red Sea. But here's what they knew, that there was conflict inside of their soul, and the gospel was preached to them, and they were set free. And then we know that there is no difference within the Christian world with anybody. We are all the same. And Peter begins to feel the pressure to treat the Jewish Christians a certain way, as kind of like front row or first and second row Christians. And Paul realized, Peter's doing? He's tearing out our Christian flock here. He's saying, Jewish converts, you sit in the first two rows, and Gentile converts, you sit in the back rows. This is a conflict, and Paul was experiencing it. And so we read verse 11. When Cephas, or Peter, came to Antioch, I, Paul, opposed him. Now listen to this. He opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. He used to spend time with those that didn't know all the traditions. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group, of course, the Jews. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas or Peter in front of all of them, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" What were you like in the last conflict that you dealt with? What role do you play? Because some people we know, when they see something, they are attackers. But the thing that we know, that the world even tells us, is that you need to deal with it. In fact, research has come out that an employee wastes an average of $1,500 in an 8-hour workday for every crucial conversation that they avoid. In other words, the costs skyrocket when what? When we avoid conflict. According to Crucial Conversations, this was a New York Times bestseller, 95% of a company's workforce struggles to speak up to their colleagues about their concerns. As a result, it says they engage in resource-sapping avoidance tactics, which will include ruminating excessively about crucial issues, complaining or getting angry, doing unnecessary work, and avoiding the other person altogether. And in extreme cases of avoidance, the organization's bottom line is it's hit very, very hard. A study of more than 600 people found that 8% of employees estimate their avoidance costs their organization more than $10,000. It plays itself out in the business world, but here we know it's playing itself out in the church. And when you have conflict, what role do you play? Because some people are attackers. Maybe you're this person. You like to be on the offensive. And you place a high value on justice. There's nothing wrong with justice. But it matters greatly to you who is right and who is wrong. But it can get extreme. So here might be a sign that you lean this way. You deal with anger or frustration by venting it. You always argue your case passionately. You ask questions like, well, how do you know? And can you prove that? You want to fight until the fight is over. You cross-examine like a lawyer. Winning the argument is more important than what? Than loving the opponent. You turn the argument to focus on the other person, even if it began with you. Now, we know that the flip is also true. There's some of you that are withdrawers, and you have this tendency to avoid. You want to ignore conflict, and when you're pressed into an argument, many times you become very kind of sullen or silent. And maybe you deal with your anger this way: I just push it down. I will not show it. You have opinions, but you always keep them to yourself because you value peace. That's what you value. You ask questions like, do we have to talk about this now? Is this you? Does it really matter? Because what you would rather do is avoid a fight than to win one. In fact, some of you, maybe you would physically leave an argument because you just need to get space. So when we're looking at this situation, when you're thinking about your situation, what can we pull from this passage? How can we not be just the attacker or the withdrawer? Does the Bible give us a third way? Does the Bible let us in on maybe some insight as to how to deal with this? And I want to walk through just a few basic points that we see in this. I think first we see that Paul approached Peter, and he did not avoid Peter. He did not bully him. And he did not gossip about him. Right? So it's easy to bully people if you know you're better at arguing than them. If you're the withdrawer, it's easy to either avoid. And both, I think, attackers and withdrawers, many times we all will gossip about it. Because we want to feel right. We want to feel like something's been done to us or somebody's dealing with something inappropriately because that makes us feel better. But Paul, he simply approached Peter. Have you approached the person that you have a conflict with? Just approach them. Don't avoid them. Don't bully them. We see Paul approaches Peter. That's point number one, a very simple point. Are you willing to have the crucial conversation that you need to have, that I need to have? It was great because this week on Thursday, two white pastors were sitting with two black pastors, and we approached the issue, the racial tension that all of us feel. And it was good to do that. It was hard to do that, and there are tensions there, and we, you know, obviously there are unspoken things in that room, but let me tell you, it was good. It felt right. Felt right to talk about it. So Paul, what? Paul approached Peter. What else do we see? We see in verse 14 that Paul, when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel. What is Peter, or what is Paul doing here? What was Paul's motivation for going to Peter? It was, look, we have got one mission. You have one mission. When we engage with conflict, this is a great reason, ultimately, that, you know what? Paul was defending the gospel. He said, look, Peter, when you treat this part of the lunchroom a certain way, and you were hanging out on this side of the lunchroom, and then you go, and maybe this is the cool crowd, and you stop talking to, you know, to the less popular, but you were before, and then you're starting to talk to this crowd, and they're influencing you. In fact, you're treating them different, and you're drawing away from them. Do you not understand what that does to the gospel message? What's a first-time or a Gentile convert supposed to think? You're communicating that they have to wear the robes and get circumcised, and they need to be involved with all this tradition. In fact, you've got Jews that are now not engaging with the Gentiles anymore. You know, the popular people that were, because of the gospel, you know, interacting with the less popular people, now they're pulling back again. Peter, you can't do this. Why? Well, it's all about the gospel. And Paul's motivation wasn't some self-defense, and it wasn't self-interest. It was, look, we have a mission. Paul's motivation for conflict resolution, because he wanted to be a part of this mission to the church in Galatia, and he wanted it to be as pure as he could be, and he's seeing his brother, and he's acting hypocritically, and now Peter, you're influencing these Jews. In fact, you're influencing Barnabas. Barnabas, his name means son of encouragement. Even Barnabas, you're such a leader, right, that you're influencing Barnabas, right? And so my question to you was that, would you be willing to engage in conflict for the sake of the gospel? I mean, when you see someone at Westtown that you feel like is hurting the mission and the message of the gospel, and they're just, their actions aren't in line with what the gospel says, are you willing to have a conversation? Not to defend you, not to make you look good or to make you look better, not to defend or not to promote something about you. But you know what? Will the gospel outweigh the temptation to either attack these people? And normally that's because you've got some self-interest. I know when I do that, I've got something personally on the line. But are you willing to wade through that and say, you know what? I can't attack, but even if my self-interest is not there per se, the gospel interest is there, so I'm not going to withdraw. I'm going to fight for this, right? I'm going to enter into conflict because I believe it is worth it. And then what happens? We see that Paul approached Peter, and we see the underlying motivation was what? Was the defense of the gospel. But what's the third thing that we see? We see in verse, end of verse 14 there, that Paul, what does he do? He presented the issue plainly. If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, How is it then that you force the Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? I'm just going to ask you plainly, Peter, how is it that this works? What happens when someone comes to you and they just say it to you plainly? They don't beat around the bush, you know, and they don't yell at you. They sit you down and say, hey, Frank, here's what I was hurt by. You know, this is one of the things that I really appreciate, is that when people are upfront with me, they say, hey, I love you, pal, but you know what? This is what you said, or this is what you did, or this is what you didn't do, and it hurt. Man, there's nothing like Paul presenting an issue plainly, and then, invites a response. Are you willing, when you go to your wife, or if you go to your husband today, and you say, hey, I need to approach you, and I'm doing this because I want our marriage to be about the gospel and what Jesus wants to do in us, because our marriage and the model of our marriage is a ministry to people, to our kids, to each other, and I want it to be right, and I'm trying to get out of this. And then you present whatever issue it may be, right? Two main issues that I hear a lot are money, what we're doing with money in our family. There can be a lot of sexual tension in the family. To present that plainly and have a real conversation and say, you know what? I want for you to respond. I'm presenting this, and let's have a conversation. What if we did that? Because the gospel calls us to repent of our sinful patterns of what? Of attacking and withdrawing. And I ask you again, of those two sides, which one are you? How does it play itself out in you? Because I know in me, I can be too quick. I can be too quick to talk. Right? I have to look and say, what am I doing here? Is this coming out of hurt? Do I really need to say anything at all? And so when you think about it, identify your tendency to either, to the attacker, self-righteousness, or to those of you that withdraw, maybe you are just insecure. Do you tend to be defensive or to blame others? Do you tend to maybe harbor anger or to stuff things where? To stuff things inside. If both of you at your heart foundation can confess that, if both parties can confess their tendency, then you know what? God comes in a way. When we really look at the power source behind this, I mean, you think about it for an attacker. I mean, many times it's pride. Those that, you know, are more aggressive. You have a certain way you want to be seen. And those that aren't and that will retract, a lot of times your power source can be fear, unfortunately. And what we need is we need the Holy Spirit to be the power source for this thing. So when we understand, hey, I don't want the foundation to be self-righteousness and insecurity. I want it to be the gospel. And that's repentance and forgiveness. And then we look at the source of power for that moment, and you realize, okay, is it going to be pride or is it going to be fear? And what we need it to be is the Holy Spirit. There's this third way, this gospel way. We have to look at what is the commitment that we have for our hearts. For those that attack a little bit more, it's many times to be right. And for those that like to withdraw and avoid, it's to avoid conflict. But what if we commit to what? To engage and to understand. I mean, that is the point of this meeting that was this past Thursday. It was to engage and to understand. I could see from different angles how it would be easy to withdraw or easy to attack. But I tell you what, when you decide to sit down and listen, there's nothing like hearing someone's story. There's nothing like hearing where they came from and what experiences inform them. And so, when we can do that, you know what? I think the feeling, which for the one who's more aggressive, he wants to say, or she wants to say, life is safe. That's what I want. And the one that maybe withdraws more, they want to say, no, yeah, life is less painful. But I think what we realize is that the gospel says, you know, the goal or the understanding should be that life is challenging. Life is just, it's just tough. And I think what you realize, if you become, the result can become, if you're the one that moves toward people and attacks people more and needs people to show up, what can result is a lot of hurt. And the hurt many times plays us out in division. Because you can't see yourself. And you can't see the room. Because you're coming from a place of hurt. And the same thing can happen if you withdraw and you think the goal is always just peace. You know what happens? Is you become bitter. And you are the one. You don't do the dividing necessarily, but you are separated. And your heart becomes hard. Is that you? And here's what the gospel says. There is a third way. That if we decide to just approach, to understand and engage one another, when we understand that this is going to be challenging and life is challenging and no one is a finished product. If you could understand that about your best buddy who went behind your back, he is not a finished product, or she is not a finished product, that your mom and your dad aren't a finished product. And yeah, they may have lied to you. They may have betrayed you in some way. They may have. But you have to understand, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, that no one in this room, if they know Christ, is guilty. But we are all still corrupt. And that life is tough. But when you realize that the goal isn't peace or self-protection, and the goal is what? The goal is God's glory. When we can understand that, then you know what? I think there's so much less hurt. There's so much less division. There's so much less bitterness and separation. And you know what happens? Healing. And reconciliation, to where Paul can say to Peter, I understood where you were coming from. I understood your comfort zone. You felt like you wanted the respect of the conservatives in the room, and you felt like you needed to do that, and you weren't really thinking about those first-time converts. Paul says, I understand. Let's not stay there. Let's change this, but I understand why you felt weak there. But let's get right back on the same page. When we understand that an approach, and as the scriptures say, a soft word, a soft answer turns away wrath, that when we can be soft with people and at the same time understand and engage with them, you know what happens? Healing and reconciliation. And that's beautiful. And I'm wondering, are you having that right now in your life? For some of you, you may have just decided, you know what? I don't do conflict. I don't do it at all. Well, I think we see here the biblical precedent is, no, we have to, right? The avoidance of conflict is the cause of so much, you know, elongated bitterness, right? Perpetual bitterness, generational bitterness. Think about parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, how that can be passed down. And once we understand that, we can see, okay, now I am going to approach this person. It's going to happen. Or they're going to approach me. If you're the one that's being approached, you can't withdraw. If you're the one that has to approach, you know what? You can't attack. And so when you approach, or if you're the one who receives it and you don't withdraw and you show up, and you're both seeking understanding, and Peter is really thinking about, what is Paul doing here? Here's what I know. Paul has been beaten. Here's what I know about Paul. He's been shipwrecked. Here's what I know about Paul. He's been jailed. And he's given his life to the gospel. Why in the world would he just come after me? His whole mission in life is to get the gospel promoted. Of course, that's why he's coming. You know, when Peter thinks that way, he can hear what Paul has to say, and it can be beautiful. And so Peter doesn't withdraw, and he listens, and Paul doesn't attack, but he does approach. And when you both listen and you understand it's all for the glory of God, healing and reconciliation happen. What would happen if in our world, it starts with our families, and it moves to our friendships, it moves into our small groups, into our youth group, right? Into the little league, into the dance classes, into the all the different schools, elementary schools, where Christians don't fear conflict and they don't abuse conflict. And then we start taking on hard issues that have been unreconciled for too long. But we do it because the gospel frees us to do it. Because we can fight, but we can fight fairly, knowing that we are still corrupt. It's Jesus in us who is perfect. He decided that the conflict that he had with us because we sinned wasn't worth it. I am not going to attack you, Frank, and I'm not going to withdraw from you. You know what I'm going to do to you, Frank? I'm going to come to you in the presence of my son, Jesus Christ. And you know what? He is going to show you love, and he is going to give you truth. When we think about that example, tell me that doesn't change things. We can what? We can be reconciled. Paul approached Peter because of the gospel. He presented the issue plainly, and he said, okay, Peter, respond. How are we going to do this? What are you doing this week? Who do you need to call today? Who do you need to text and say, next week we gotta have lunch? Let me tell you, because of the freedom we have in Christ, it's worth it. It will save you time. The tension that you will feel today or next week because of these interactions, it will be awkward, but it will be worth it. When you understand it's all for the gospel, where are you? Please let these words from Jesus change you. Let him change our relationships. Let's pray and ask that God might sear these things upon us.